I've just got to read from the Bible first, and then we'll look at what we're going to look at this morning. It's found in Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. Matthew 19, verse 16. It's only a short passage, but it's all about the Lord Jesus meeting with a rich young ruler. It says, "Now behold, one came and said to him, 'Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?'" Or have eternal life. "So he said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments.' He said to him, 'Which ones?' Jesus said, 'You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Honour your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbour as yourself.' The young man said to him, 'All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?' Jesus said to him, 'If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me.' When the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." Now, I don't know about you, boys and girls, maybe you're not old enough yet, I don't know, but there are times in your life when you have something, or you've made something, or you have an experience, and you don't want to give it up. I don't know, it could be anything. It could be when I was how old are you, Emily?
11.
11. Yeah, I would have been 11, I'd have been even older. We used to go down to Wales, and we'd go meet with the family. And all your cousins and that were there, and then suddenly your dad would say, "Come on now, we've got to go." Oh man, it was horrendous. The thought of leaving Auntie Jessie's house, the thought of not seeing Auntie Ada for a while, and you just don't know. And sometimes, well not sometimes, all the time, I'd cry on the way home. Up the way through Monmouthshire, I'd be heading towards Coventry, and I'd be sobbing my heart out. I just didn't want to leave. I may have been 16 at one stage. I just didn't want to leave my family. In fact, I was told, I don't believe this, but I was told, I may have tried this before, when my parents used to pick me up from my auntie's house when I was about 2 or 3, they used to bring me out backwards, so I didn't feel as if I was leaving on because I was screaming head off. I just wanted to be with my family, and I didn't want it to end. And there are people who like money, and they count their money, and it gets bigger and bigger, and they don't use it, but they don't want to lose it. Or sometimes there's, I don't know, you know how you ask some of the older ones, your tastes change, your taste buds change. And you'll look back to the time when you had I remember my first doner kebab. Oh, and I've never been able replicate it again. They've never been as nice. It was just amazing as it tingled in my mouth. Or the first beef curry. Oh, at Auntie at Maureen's. Oh man, the black eyed peas. Oh, it's just amazing. It's never been the same. There are things you don't want to give up. Well, there is this man. This man comes to see the Lord Jesus. He's a young ruler. That's all we know about him. But what we do know, he's very wealthy. And he must have had servants. And he had people who did what he asked. He had such power. And it tells us that this young man, he comes to speak to the Lord Jesus. And he asks him, he says, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life, or have eternal life. What do I have to do to go to this place that you're talking about? Jesus has been talking about this place. He's been talking about heaven. What must I do? And we might be thinking to ourselves, hasn't he listened? Jesus has been saying, you can't do it through your own efforts. You can't just simply put your hand up at a Sunday school class. You can't just say, I want to follow Jesus and that's it. There has to be a work going on in your heart. It's not, you don't choose Jesus like you choose a car, or you choose a sweet from the sweet shop. You don't choose the Lord Jesus like an insurance policy, just in case. I'm just explaining an insurance policy. An insurance policy, you pay some money, and then if you have an accident or you die or something happens, this company will pay out, hopefully, and look after your loved ones or whatever. And people take insurance policies out just in case. Well, you don't choose the Lord Jesus because of that. And this man, he had so much. And he comes to the Lord Jesus and he's asking him these questions. And the Lord Jesus says to him, doesn't he? He says, why do you call me good? No one is good but one. And that is God. And you see, he's testing this man. He's testing to make sure that he knows what he's talking about. Is he talking to the Lord Jesus and saying, good teacher, because he thinks Jesus has done these miracles and he's very clever and he's got people following him? Or is he calling him good because he knows that he's the Son of God? Well, I think it's because he thinks he's special, as in he's got this following. And he can feed the thousands, and he can heal the sick, and he can do amazing things. He comes up to him and he listens, must have listened to him, because he would have noticed, and people would have talked about the fact that the Lord Jesus read the minds of the religious leaders. Some of the religious leaders were about to ask questions or ask things and be awkward, and Jesus knew what they were thinking. Imagine that. And he comes up to the Lord Jesus and he asks, what can I do so that I can inherit eternal life? And there are people like that. In fact, there are lots of people who ask this question. They will ask, what can I do to go to heaven? And there may even be people in our church that if you said to them, what gives you the right to go to heaven? And they might say, well, I've always been good. I went to Sunday school. And I've always given to charity. And I've been a good brother. I've been a good sister. I've been a good mother. I've been a good father. And they'll give you a whole list of things. But you see, that really isn't what the Lord Jesus wants to hear. The Lord Jesus says to him, doesn't he? He said to him, which one, the young man asked, which ones do you want me to keep? Let me just move it on. There we go. Which ones do you want me to keep? Which commands? What do you want me to do? Well, the Lord Jesus, he was testing him. He said this. What did he say? He said, you shall not murder. Now, if I said to you, anyone in here, has anyone murdered anyone in the church? Anyone murdered anyone? And I think most of you, I'm almost certain, that you would all say, no, I've never murdered anyone. I'm sure you haven't murdered anyone, have you? No. Well, that's where you might be wrong. Because the Lord Jesus said this, if you hate someone in your heart, it's as good as murdering them. Because if you didn't have the laws of the land, And if you didn't have the police, and if you didn't have parents who taught you right and wrong, you wouldn't see a problem in murdering someone. Cain didn't care about killing Abel. Just did it. Hate out of his heart. And there are times when people have sat there and said, I hate that person. Well, they've thought it in their mind. I wish they weren't here. I wish my mom and dad wasn't so bossy. I wish I could go and play with my friends. I wish my mum wasn't here. And we can all be guilty of saying things. And he says another one, he says, he goes on, he says, look, you shall not commit adultery, and there's lots of men and ladies that have looked at other, they've been married and they've looked at someone else in their heart, and they shouldn't. When you marry someone, the only one that should matter to you, apart from God, is your wife or your husband. You shall not steal. Well, we've all stolen, haven't we, in our hearts, been a little bit jealous. Or someone's got a job and we haven't, and we wish we had it. Or some of us have taken things from work or school, and we know we shouldn't, and we have. Or we've been told not to take something out of the pantry, or the cupboard in the house, or the fridge, and we have. You shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. How many people tell lies and they tell you, oh no, it's just a white lie. Rubbish, there's no such thing as a white lie. There's all lies. Gossip. It's for the same bit. Gossip is a terrible, terrible thing. Lord Jesus is saying, how do you use your tongue? And he says this and then he says, honour your father and your mother. Well, how many of us have fallen short of that? You know, how many? Hands up. There may be someone here, I don't know. But hands up, whose mother and father, doesn't matter, it could be all your mum or your dad, that have said, I wish you'd stop being so good. You almost have you. I don't think I've said it. Have you said it? None of us. Because we're naturally bad. We can't help ourselves. It's just hard. It's like a bowling ball. If you ever watch Crown Green Bowling, you've got to be a lot older to watch it. There's a little weight in one of the balls, or it shapes slightly different. I can't remember which. And it will never go in a straight line. It will always curve. And we will always be naughty. We'll always do what we shouldn't. And it's just part of our nature because of what happened at the fall. And, well, this young man, he said, where are we? There we are. He said, I have kept these. I haven't broken a single one. I've never hated anyone. I've never committed adultery. I've never stolen. I've never bore false witness. I've always honoured my father and my mother. And I've always loved my neighbour as myself. And you can just see the Lord Jesus. And he says to him, thinking to himself, you've fallen into this. You haven't grasped what I'm saying. If you talk to anyone who's a Christian who really loves the Lord Jesus as their Saviour, they will tell you. You say to them, are you a good person? And they'll say to you, oh, my heart's not what it should be. I wish I loved my wife better than I did. And they probably really love their wife. I wish I was a better dad than I am. I'm so rotten inside, they will say to you. But if someone is not Christian, they will always tell you how good they are. And this man said, I'm all right. The young man said, all these things I have kept from my youth, what do I still lack? What else do you want to test me on? Well, he's failed the first test, but he thinks he's passed it. Well, the Lord Jesus said to him, so I'll tell you what. Because the Lord Jesus knew his heart. The Lord Jesus knows exactly what's important to him. I know, we meet at youth, don't we? And I know that Emily wants to jump 3 foot on a horse. I know that's one of the desires. Not because we could read her mind, but because she told her. Rover, he wants to be any kind of sportsman, that's what he told us the other day. As long as it's well paid and I'm famous. He wants to be famous. And only because he's told us. But you see, the Lord Jesus knew this man. He knew that he had to make well. Now, I don't know, some of you Christians, you may have something you're holding on to. And the Lord put his finger on what you should be letting go. And it's not easy. And he says this. Okay, he says, one thing you lack. He lacks them all, actually. He's broken them all. But the Lord Jesus is kind and he says, one thing you lack. Oh, let's cut to the chase. Let's get to the real point. It's like, you know when you come home and you say to your mum, would you like me to tidy my bedroom today? And your mum thinks, what's going on? That's what they do, don't they? What is good? And they suddenly say to you, what are you really asking me? What are you really, let's get to this shape. And you find out you want to go out with your friend, or you want to go to the pictures, or you want to, that's the real reason. Let's get to the real problem of the matter. And the Lord Jesus, he said, let's cut to the chase. And he said this. Okay, this is the test. If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. But you see, the young man, the Bible says he had great wealth, and he didn't want to give any of it up. Do you know what he really wanted? He wanted to think that when he died, he would be able to take it all with him. Can you take anything with you when you die? I'll tell you what, I know why you had problems with the quiz. Can you take anything with you when you die? What do you take with you? You just take your soul. You don't take anything else. You have to leave everything behind. Someone asked me one day about someone who died. And they said to me, and I'd heard this before, they said to them, how much did they leave? I said, they left all of it. They left all of it. You can't take anything with you. And he's saying to this young man, listen, leave it all, because if you trust in me, you will have greater riches. And how do we know that we'll have greater riches? Well, the Lord Jesus, he spoke to his disciples after this young man, and he said something there in verse 23. He says, you know, it's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven it's easier for a camel to enter the eye of a needle. Now, I don't know about you, can you imagine a camel hit through the eye of a needle? It's madness, isn't it? Well, there's lots of discussions on that. Some say it's a little door. There used to be little doors in the big gates in around the city of Jerusalem and various places. And at night, if the camel was all lined up and then come to the city, the only way that he would not through the big doors is through the little door. And you used to take all the stuff off. And the rich man wouldn't want to take all the stuff off because there'd be robbers and that around him. Well, it doesn't really matter what it means. All it means is this. Some say it doesn't mean that. Some says God is saying it's just impossible. And that's what God is saying. God is saying further down, he says, listen, with men, this is impossible. You cannot get a camel through the eye of a needle. You cannot do it, he says. He said, but there are things that God can do. You see, if you're ready to listen to what the Lord Jesus has to say, he can stir your heart. If you come to church one Sunday morning and say, look, I'm willing to listen this morning, I wonder wonder what the preacher has to say. Lord, help me to be what I should be. Lord, if the things that I've done in the past don't come up to your standard, show me what to do. So that, and the Lord, what does the Lord tell us to do? What does the Lord say to us so that we know what to do? He tells us to believe. He tells us to recognise our sin, to recognise that we can do nothing in our own strength, but we are to believe on what he has said. And well, the disciples, in fact, Peter, where is it, Peter? Peter's in the red and the yellow there. And Peter turns round to the Lord Jesus and he says this. He says, see, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have? Is it possible for us? What will we have? We've given up everything. Well, this is what the Lord said, and I think this is amazing. You feel like you've given up. You've given so much to the life of Christ. You've had a difficult life, and you've been laughed at school. You've been laughed at work, and even people in the church think you are extreme. And the Lord Jesus says this, Lord, listen, I say to you, that in the resurrection, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Listen, disciples, you're going to be so blessed you cannot imagine. I used to leave Wales and I'd sob my heart out. When I came home, it was my home. Mum and dad lived there, and I had a mum and dad who loved me. I had a mum and dad who were a bit soft sometimes, but they were so tender, never did anything that made me feel hurt. Never you hear a thing today that's not nice, but they were always gentle and kind. And it was a safe place. And I used to love coming home. I don't often go to my mum and dad as I used to, but when I open that key and I go in that house, it just feels so safe. And Jesus is saying, listen, you're going to have such a safe and wonderful place. And he goes on to say this. He said, listen, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mother or wife or children or lands, for my sake. Sometimes we have to give up so much from a Christian. He said, shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. Then he finishes by saying, but many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. And what he means by that is, we're all going to be blessed. Whether you're first or last, you are going to be blessed. There's going to come a day, if you trust the Lord Jesus as your Saviour, you are going to be blessed more than you can ever imagine. Yes, it may be hard now, but we have a God who is creating something wonderful, a treasure for us. But we have to come to a place where we call upon his name and trust him. Thank you for listening, people. If ever you want to ask us about the way of salvation, you speak to the youth leaders or Sunday school teachers or the leaders if you want. We're more than happy to tell you how to get there. We're going to close by singing 470. Praise to the Lord the Almighty, the King of creation, the one who filled the universe. He came at Easter to die that we might have life eternal. Thank you. Father in heaven, we know there's coming a day when we will stand before you. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful message of the gospel that reminds us that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That we're condemned already. You didn't come to condemn us, but you came to save us. And Lord, we pray, the Father, for the youngsters, that Lord, before it's too late, they will call upon your name. For Lord, for any here who are older and they have never truly trusted in you, and they haven't got those children, we pray that they will call upon your name. And for those who know you and love you, Lord, encourage our hearts as we look to that day, and all that we will taste of all that God has done for us. What a wonderful day that will be. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us. Father, we pray that you encourage our hearts now, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.